This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And we have a special guest tonight who is all the way on the other side of the globe in Perth, Australia. But before we get started, I want to give out the toll-free number in case anybody does want to call in. The number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227, and that number is good all over the world. I want to pass out some information before we get to the guest. Just a few weeks ago, I had on my show Bob Brown, and he was getting ready for the Laughlin UFO Conference, which is the largest UFO conference in the world. And that night that he was speaking here, he was doing the show from the hospital because his wife, Terry, was very ill, and they gave him a room where he could do the show and a private line so he could do it. And I do want to tell everyone that when I got down to the Laughlin UFO Conference anyway, we found that Terry died just as the conference was starting. And so Bob didn't make it down there till a few days later, and his wonderful daughters were the ones that were putting everything on. And I know there are a lot of people out there who know the Browns and know the show, and they might want to have that information. She was very ill with cancer, and it just finally got too much for her, but she did die. It's been about a week or two ago now. So I wanted to pass that information on. And going to Laughlin, I had to go down there and speak. It was a nightmare trip. I sat 2 hours, 2 days, I mean, in the airport trying to get out to get to Las Vegas to take the bus down to Laughlin. 2 days, and I finally got in there at 3 o'clock on Monday morning, and I had to speak Monday. So it was a nightmare trip. There was nothing going in and out of Dallas at all, nothing flying in or out for that whole day Saturday. They said it was the highest winds ever recorded at Dallas Airport. And then we couldn't go through Chicago because they were having a terrible ice and snowstorm. So everything just seemed to be going wrong. But I did make it on the only flight that they were able to get out, to get to Chicago and then on to Las Vegas. So it's been a pretty hectic week of just one thing after the other. And I told my daughter, as there was one thing after the other kept going wrong, I said, "Do you suppose that Mercury is retrograde?" And she said, "I think it is. Those astrologers out there will know what I mean." My astrologer friend said when I got back, not only is Mercury retrograde, but also Saturn. So we were getting a double whammy there for a week. And when I get my guest on here, I'm going to tell her that's probably explained some problems we were having. But I'm going to introduce my guest now. She is all the way on the other side of the world in Perth, Australia, and it's Mary Rodwell. You there, aren't you, Mary?
I am, Dolores, and good evening to you.
I think, don't you go away on me now. Because the day before all this began happening, and I was going to leave the next morning for Laughlin, we were trying to do our show, and the phone just kept ringing and ringing, and nobody answered. And Mary said she was sitting right there the whole time. So I think we're going to blame it on Mercury being retrograde.
Well, we've got no other explanation, have we, Dolores?
That's a good enough explanation because everything was so haywire that whole week. And, you know, usually Mercury has to do with communication and confusion. All right. Well, Mary Rodwell is a very old friend of mine. Every time I go to Australia, we always get together, and I speak at her group. So we're both investigators, so we have been working on a lot of this very similar cases. But now, Mary, I would like it if you would tell something about yourself, your background, and how you got into this line of work.
Absolutely, Dolores. Well, my background is nursing midwifery, believe it or not. 30 years ago, if you told me that I'd be writing books about people who have who see extraterrestrials and go up on craft, I'd have probably sent you to the nearest psychiatrist. But since then, I've sort of been in a professional counselor for 20 years, working in grief and bereavement and all the usual what I call life experiences. And about 13 years ago, when I went into private practice, I met my very first client, who actually was a middle-aged man, very, very articulate, who said to me, look, there's support groups for everything you can imagine, but there's no support for this. For this, people just think you're a loony. And he, of course, talked about the traditional and classic ET-related experiences which were affecting not just him, but his whole family. And, of course, that's what gives it credibility for me, is that we're not always dealing with just one person in a family. Very likely, and, of course, quite often, because it's intergenerational, you've got parents, grandparents, grandkids, and siblings all involved with this, which completely takes it out of just one person having a fantasy.
Yes, I've dealt with several generations also. So I know what you mean. We've been able to talk to all of them, the grandmother and the parents and everything. But how did you feel, though, when he first started telling you this?
Well, I was very fortunate because I'm one of these people that's always been interested in the weird and the wonderful. And all my life I've read, if it's a book that's about a mystery, I want to read it. So I had read Dr. John Mack's book. And this is, you know, John, of course, I think is one of the leading lights, even though now, sadly, he was killed in London a couple of years ago now, who wrote the book Abduction, the professor of psychiatry at Harvard University. And
We were good friends. So
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I met him actually a few months before he died at the Glastonbury Cop Circle Festival. And I really respected his work, his bravery in coming out in the traditional psychiatric field and saying this is a real experience. Of course, he wrote Passport to the Cosmos, I think, was his second book. But I'd also read the book by Whitney Strieber, which, of course, is the classic Communion. And fortunately, this prepared me a little bit for the fact that this was a real experience. And from that, of course, it started me on my personal journey in trying to understand what was going on. How real was this? Was this purely a reality for certain people, or was there actually tangible scientific data that proved that it was a reality for all of us? And because I've got a medical science background, it was very important for me to quantify it from as many levels as possible. And like you, Dolores, I do regression work, hypnosis. And from that, it was just blowing my mind, the number of people that are actually involved with this. And I realized that this is something that's targeting, really, consciousness of the planet.
I was trying to think. I think we started out about the same time, because I started on this about 20 years ago. And it was right at the time that Whitley's book came out. I said that was the one that kind of started everything, you know, began to make people think about it back in those days. And did you start out about that time, too?
I was a little bit behind you, I think, Dolores. It was probably about 13 or 14 years ago now, and it really was this gentleman and his credible story. I mean, this is a very balanced, articulate, intelligent man who was saying, look, I can deal with this, but it was affecting his partner absolutely tremendously. I mean, he was a guy that woke up in the morning, went into the shower, and would see a shaved area on his leg. He had the most unusual marks on his body that couldn't be explained, including the imprint, which looked like a lion being, believe it or not. And it was absolutely incredible that this was left on his body. And he'd taken photographs of it. I mean, this is stuff that you can't create for yourself. And, of course, he also had implants, which, of course, Dr. Lear has now, I think, removed about 12 of those. So we're talking about tangible, concrete, you know, medical data here that is making this a reality.
Yeah, because that's where, you know, there are several people in the field. That's what they deal with, is the implants and those kind of things. But I've had cases where they would have marks on their back in ways that they could not possibly have got out of them there. know, there was no way they could have done it themselves. But, you know, in my work, though, we were able to find out what those marks were, and they're really not anything frightening about them when you understand where it all comes from. Because I found the marks of machines that they use when they're working on people and they are, you know, helping them with their health and everything.
I think this is where we actually both agree absolutely, Dolores, that when people understand what's going on, and regression is a wonderful tool, because when they've had what they believe is something really dreadful happen to them, when they've actually been taken back to the experience, often it's been a healing procedure that's been done, and they've actually been assisted and helped.
Yeah, because when they're trying to figure it out themselves, the mind blows everything out of proportion. And you bring fear in, and that's what I've been told in my work. Fear is the strongest emotion a human has. They don't understand something, they're going to be afraid of it, and it will be magnified and blown out of proportion totally from what it really was. And that's why, you know, we are able to find more information with the regression. And I have not found negativity, and I don't think you have either.
Absolutely not. And it's been really important for me, because when you first come into this, you really don't know what to think. And the information is, you know, with many people, they're frightened. And as you say, the fear is more about not knowing. Once they fully understand what's actually happening on the cart, and this can really turn people 180 degrees once they understand what's going on. And the interesting thing, too, and I know you found this also, Dolores, that when I asked them, from that the state of heightened awareness, have they on any level consented to this interaction? Every single time they said yes, and it's sometimes been a pre-birth decision where they've actually said they've wanted to interact with these beings.
Yes, that's what I found also. Of course, you know, if people that have been listening to my show know that I do deal in reincarnation. And before you come into life, you do make a contract, and you try to put down every, you know, all the different people you're going to interact with. And I've been told at that time, the ETs will come to the soul, and they will say, this is what we're going to be working on while you're alive. Will you agree to take part in it? And they do agree, and they do make a contract.
And it's, you know, the interesting thing, too, is this is something that they come up with. It isn't something that I've led them into at all. I'm just trying to understand from as many levels through their when they actually describe their experience. And sometimes they've been quite confronted by this. It's not like they've wanted to believe this in any way. This has come out quite spontaneously from that heightened awareness that does understand fully what's actually going on. And one of the things that, you know, on my DVDs, I have a young lady called Tracy Taylor, and she said to me, you know, I was fearful of my experiences until I realized that, you know, when I thought I was the only one having them, I didn't know what was going on, but there's always been an equal exchange. I've helped them to achieve their genetic goals, and in return, my healing and psychic ability, plus my understanding of life on Earth, has been enhanced. So it was, you know, when people understand this, it completely changes the way they understand their interaction with their extraterrestrial family, as I call it.
Yes, but, you know, there are a lot of hypnotists out there, and we know many of them that are in this field and on the circuit, who they focus on fear, and they think everything is negative, and that's what they want to come out. And they stress that. And I think this is very harmful for the person. They're not looking for the truth. They're just looking for things that are negative.
I agree with you, and it really worries me when you have, you know, often people that are coming from a limited space within themselves, so they can only actually draw out the same kind of limits in the person that they're helping. And unfortunately, many of them don't take on the understanding that we are spiritual beings, and that we, you know, are incarnating through all sorts of different experiences in other lifetimes, and that many of my clients have gone back to times where they've been extraterrestrial beings and actually been just pure energy. And they have also, you know, agreed through several different kinds of lifetimes to interact with other intelligences, because it's assisted their growth from a spiritual perspective. But if you don't go there as a person yourself, spiritually, you're not ready to explore that side of the spiritual, then you're always going to come from limits when you actually are working with people. And this is part of the problem, I suspect.
Yeah, this is. I have also, you know, I've written many books, and in those books I do talk about past lives where people have been ETs, as we call them. They've just lived on other planets, and they have gone back to where they're pure energy living in other dimensions. This has happened so many times that I know it's real. But a lot of the other investigators, I guess they're coming at it for more from the psychiatric point of view, and to them it has to be a fearful experience. And there again, I think you're right. They have this fear within themselves because they don't understand what's happening. So they pass that on with their clients. That's what they're looking for. You know, I have done clients that somebody else has worked on, that the fear-based hypnotist, and
yeah.
We have gotten totally different stories.
Yeah. And it's because they don't know what questions to ask, I think, Dolores, because they're coming from the medical model. And the thing is that what a lot of the experiences have said to me is they didn't ask the right questions. And we know that when you take someone into that heightened awareness, they have all the understanding and awareness they need to answer the questions, to give themselves
yep.
full understanding of what part this is in terms of their life journey, their spiritual journey. And it completely turns around the way that they've understood it to a place of real, a way that they can integrate, heal, and balance themselves and communicate in a way that is meaningful from every level possible. And this is what I believe is the most helpful way of dealing with this.
Yes, because I've had some of the other investigators, they'll tell me, you aren't getting the truth because you aren't finding the fear and the horror. And I said, that's because it's not there. It doesn't exist. I feel sorry for them in a way. This is where they're coming from, and they're afraid of their own work. They're afraid of doing the investigations.
I honestly believe, Dolores, that if you're not ready to explore your own realities and try to stretch yourself, then you can never go beyond that with your clients. And so for me, when I say a CERN honors all realities, what I'm really saying is I don't really know what reality is any more than anyone else. And if you do, then I think you're very arrogant, because we're already being told, with the string theory, that there's 11 dimensions or more. The bottom line is that each person has a perception of reality, and if we don't listen and honor that, we'll never understand what the great reality really consists of. And I think the problem is that when we're coming from our own limits, we can never go beyond those limits unless we're prepared to. And I think because it challenges their own paradigm, their own belief system about their world and reality, they are just too scared to actually explore it. And this is the difficulty I think they have. It is their own fear, Dolores.
I know, because I keep getting more and more strange information, and it just keeps growing and growing. That's why I'm writing the Convoluted Universe series. It just keeps getting way beyond anything we could possibly imagine. But they have brought up, you know, that everything is an illusion anyway. So that means my reality is not the same as somebody else's reality. So you can't say this is true and that is not true, because everyone has their own truth. And we have to respect that and go with it. I've had clients come in and they'll say, I haven't been able to talk to anybody. They'll all think I'm crazy. And so they start telling me their story. And then they're looking at me. They said, you mean this is not freaking you out? I said, no, because I've heard it before. But so many people feel they can't talk to anyone.
Dolores, your work is wonderful. And the reason that I am so honored to be one of your friends is because, for me, what you're discovering and writing about is precisely the material that I'm getting from my clients. And when you talk, you know, even in your books from the custodians, even you've got this about the new humans, for example, which is part of, we're both very interested in the research to the Star Kids, the new human. And you know, you
yeah.
talk about this, these new humans that are coming into the planet, and how this is this is part of our evolution. I'm getting identical material from a lot of my clients, some of them who have conscious memory. And I mean, Tracy Taylor again, you know, she talks about a new race of human beings that's emerged. While superficially they're indistinguishable, they are part of the next wave, the bringers of light to assist humanity in awakening of terrestrial consciousness, she says. You know, and this is exactly what you were talking about in your books, you know, from the custodians and what have you, and the genetic, the genetic alterations that are being done. And you mentioned that in the convoluted universe as well, don't you? You know, where you're actually saying the same kind of thing.
And I'm working on Convoluted Universe Book 3. I'm even getting more. But see, I think it's important that we are getting the same information. It adds validation to our work that way. We know if you're only out there all by yourself, but other people are getting the same information, there must be something true to this. But another thing I have found out, these people, they're just ordinary people. They look like everyone else. And most of the time on the conscious level, they're not aware that they are part of the new humans. They're not aware they're part of this new race. This is very surprising to them when they find out the information under hypnosis. So I think you're finding the same thing. On a conscious level, they're just like everybody else.
That's the thing that blows my mind, is that we're surrounded by, people that are having experiences. A lot of them don't know what this experience is. They think it's just them. And when they come to me, they say, look, you're going to think I'm crazy because this is what I know, and I know I'm not from here. And you get little children. I always recount the five-year-old that said to his mother, Mom, I don't mind going through the walls, and they teach me more on the ships than I learn at school. And one day I'll introduce them to you. And I actually got a letter only recently from a gentleman who's got a three-year-old little girl. And she said to him one day, she said one night time, I want to go home now. And he said, but we are home. And she says, no, I want to go to sleep so I can go home.
Uh-huh. But you happened to a man that I was working with, too. He said as a child, every night he would go on the ships and go to school. And he thought all the other kids in the neighborhood were doing the same thing. This was just part of what they did, go to school at night. But then as he got older and began asking the other kids, he found out nobody knew what he was talking about. But he had a conscious memory of going on the ships every night and being taught a lot of very complicated things that he was to use later in his life. But there are not too many of them that remember these things consciously.
Well, Whitley Strieber, of course, talked about the secret school, and I found so many testimonies now of the children and adults that have remembered going onto the craft and learning not only how to use their mind to manipulate energy. They've learned an enormous number of skills, and it's actually something that I'm actually speaking about now, is what they actually learn on the craft. And it's absolutely incredible. They learn such things as how to use, as I say, their telekinesis. They learn about telepathy. They learn about quantum physics, time and space. And I've got one lady that was given information which she put down onto, which was mathematical formula. This is a lady who had never, ever done physics. And this particular information she was given by the light beings, she actually had it qualified by a Cambridge professor of physics who, when she sent all the material of this mathematical formula to him that she'd got from the light beings, he said, this is mathematics of 200 years in the future.
So we can't use it now, but it's there.
And it's all about,
they've told me that all of this stuff is being downloaded on a cellular level into the mind, to the person's not aware of it, but that in the future when we need it, it'll all come forth, it'll be there, and we won't even know where it came from. We won't know how we got it. But it is being put in there now. But I've had people tell me they have dreams of being taught something, but they don't remember what it is. And I said, because it's not time to know. It's on the cellular level. But in the future, we are going to need all of this as we go into this entirely new world that we're headed into.
And I think they're being prepared, because some of them say to me, look, I know I've got a mission and a purpose, but I don't know what it is yet. And I said, well, it could be that.
Yes. I hear that from everybody that comes in.
And they want to know what it is, and I just say to them, look, I believe the information is there in your energetic field, and it'll be available to you when the time is right. And I think that it's about trusting that, you know, when we need to know what we need to know, it will be made available to us. And it's trusting the soul knows where it's going, as I call it, you know?
Yeah. But it's not anything to be afraid of. This is just the way the world is going. And all the people coming in, especially the children, have already got everything in place. We're playing catch up. The adults are to catch up with these children because we're all being changed. All of our DNA and everything is being changed so we can all move into this new world. That's what I'm getting anyway.
Absolutely. And what I think is happening is that the information is being downloaded. It's in many different ways, and some of it is through the languages that many of the Star Kids are speaking, from the scripts that they're writing, from the complex geometric artwork, which I talk about in my DVDs, and I get people to explain how they understand it. There's one young lady, and it's really interesting. It fits in with, I know Jim Sparks was actually at the conference, the UFO conference this time, and he was talking about being taught an alien language on the craft, and the symbols were fitted absolutely with some of my clients. And I think you remember Rochelle, who recognized the language that you played on tape, Dolores, when you were here last time. Well, she actually explained that each symbol has contained within it enough information to fill a room full of encyclopedias. And this is what is being downloaded now, and I believe that at some point when we reach a certain level of consciousness, or at least 10% of the planet does, it completely then affects, in other words, like the 100th monkey, everyone then will actually have access to this information, and we will understand it from a super conscious level. And I think that's where, you know, when we talk about 2012, I believe that is when we will be actually reaching the consciousness we need to actually access this material in a conscious way.
Yes, I believe that also, but I think we should explain to the people that don't know is that we have both found people all over the world are getting these strange symbols, and they have the compulsion to write these. The one young man in Australia, I think they sent you the same drawings that they sent to me, was that the young man sit there for hours drawing all of these symbols, making all these drawings, and the doctor said, well, he was having a nervous breakdown. But all it was a compulsion to keep drawing these. And I began to get people from all over the world sending me, that, what is this? I keep writing these things. I keep drawing them.
Yeah.
And you said you were getting the same things.
Yeah. That's the thing that it's amazing, Dolores, isn't it, that we're getting the same kind of material, the same kind of languages. That one that you played on tape through a regression with one of your clients, I've had people hear that and say, I know that, I understand it. And it's like they're on another level, they're able to actually access, and it seems to also energetically when they hear this, it sometimes creates healing in them. It sometimes they'll find that their clairvoyancy or their psychic abilities will be triggered. I've had all sorts of amazing reactions when they've been exposed to this kind of material, and I believe it's a really fascinating part of how we're being assisted to, if you like, with our consciousness level. They're all acting as triggers, I believe, for this awakening of humanity. And it's a really exciting time. It's nothing to fear. I think it's time, you know. It's time that we woke up to our origins and who we are and what needs to happen on this planet, because many of them, as you know, are told you can't do this to your planet anymore. You've got to start taking care of Mother Earth. You've got to start being aware that everything you do affects not just this planet, but our other dimensions and us. And you are part of now a galactic community. You've got to take responsibility for that.
It is. I'm getting the same thing to everybody. But that's another part that I wanted to mention. It's not only just drawings and the symbols. you've got it and I've got it too, where it is an actual spoken language. And that's where I had the tapes, and you said you had people that were also speaking in it, and you have tapes of them also. And it sounds very similar. And I've had people now that have been sending me tapes and saying, is this what it sounds like? So it's we not only have the written symbols, language, if you want to call it, but we also have the spoken language from wherever it's coming from. It's definitely not from this earth anyway.
Absolutely, and if you remember, Rochelle actually used it, and it, you know, on I hope that you've received the second DVD, but on it she actually uses the languages, which she says for healing, and she said that it actually goes to a molecular level. It's kind of soul language, which she says actually changes the DNA. And what was fabulous for me was having confirmation of the fact that in Russia now, some of their research into DNA with biologists and linguists, they have found that the spoken word or language actually can change the structure of DNA. And this confirms absolutely what the experiencer is telling me in different language, but the same thing, that language can actually change and alter DNA. And they're saying that, you know, with some of the problems that we have, genetic faults, we could end up just having a language that could actually put that balance and heal that, rather than, in fact, splicing out, you know, DNA that's faulty in some way or abnormal. And so really what she's saying is exactly the same thing, that through those languages that she's bringing in to do healing, she's actually knowing on some intuitive level through her interaction with the beings that help her what language is needed to balance and heal the DNA in the client that she's actually got on the table. And it's wonderful to get scientific confirmation that this is possible. And we're seeing it with other scientists and medical scientists such as Dr. Bruce Lipton, who is talking about the fact that DNA is only part of the picture, that also, though, our whole body, it acts as a measure, if you like, or a frequency that also can be affected by these frequencies energetically. And so we're getting it now from medical science that's saying exactly what the experiencer is saying. And that's been very important for me, coming from my medical science background. How can we quantify this reality in terms of the way we understand it? And we now can in many, many ways.
But you know, when I've done regressions, people have gone back to Atlantis, and not only Atlantis, but there were many, many other highly advanced civilizations on Earth. And they had learned how to use sound to heal, and they didn't have disease, they didn't have illness, because they had done away with it, and it was used using sound. And even down into modern times, a lot of the ancient priests and the priestesses used sound. And there are some people now that are doing that to heal. They said everyone has a certain frequency. If they find that tone, they can actually heal the body. I think Sherry Edwards is a pioneer in that. She's been doing it for many years, finding the tone. So it's the same idea that sound, you know, can affect the body.
Absolutely, and we know that with hypnosis, for example, we know that is obviously, it's a frequency. When you actually use hypnosis and you use the affirmations, we know that can change the actual programs of the body so that they can come from a new program, if you like, when you can release old negative patterns that are part, and it's all sound, it's all frequency. We know also that things like the Tibetan bowls and what have you, they have a frequency which is healing and heals all the energy systems. So metaphysically we are having confirmation, but we also now know from a more traditional science that this can actually work, and certainly hypnosis can be one of the most healing when you help people with affirmations and new programs through language.
Uh-huh. So, you know, I'm very much involved with that because I do a lot of healing work, and I work with a lot of people that have problems and are getting ready to have operations. I'm getting more and more of that, people coming to me like that. But, you know, Mary, I forgot to mention, you have the organization ACERN. Do you want to tell people what that is?
Well, I created a CERN about 11 years ago as a resource and support for all those with experiences, and it was anomalous experiences. I didn't just keep it to my specialist area, which is extraterrestrial intelligences, because often those that have other experiences don't understand that it may very well be related. So a CERN is the Australian Close Encounter Resource Network, a professional resource that not only supports families and those with anomalous experiences, it also has an educational program. So I go and I speak to professional organizations, and I mean, I've even gone and spoken at Oxford University last year in a world tour. Basically, it's about sharing this information, whether it's kinesiology or the complementary therapies. I've been to speak in spiritual groups, from psychic development to spiritualist churches, right through to Rotary and Probus, basically, and media. I feel it's really important that the general public starts to understand this reality, because there are many in the area of what we call the general public that are actually having experiences and are in isolation and fear because they don't understand what it is they're experiencing. And do you know the latest Reader's Digest poll here in Australia worked out that 1 in 5 people in Australia had seen a UFO, and many of them had had experiences. That's 1 in 5. We're talking about millions of people here in Australia. And it's similar statistics, I know, for America. We're talking about millions and millions of people. And the trouble is, many of them, I should think 80% of them, don't know when they have these experiences what they are. And so if we can start now exposing the general public to this information without bringing in the fear and helping them to understand it, then we're going to assist everyone to actually open up and to access more of who and what they are.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it was the, I don't know, it was the last time I was in Australia. It was probably the time before that. I was asked to come to a small town. It's really, I guess you would call the outback. It's not real far out, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm not going to mention the town on the air because I did promise them I was going to keep it, you know, under wraps, because they're very gentle people out there, and I don't want their lives to be disrupted. But I was getting letters, and they said, will you please come and talk to our group whenever you're here again? And it was just like a little town in the old West here. I was sitting in a store next to a potbelly stove, and the women were all bringing in their covered dishes. But they all began telling me about their experiences, and they said where they are out there in the middle of nowhere, it's like an alleyway of UFOs coming over constantly in that area. And they had this one woman who was in her 80s who said she's the historian, and she'd been keeping records for many years of all of the sightings. And the person who brought me there showed me a portal on her land where they had really strange experiences happen out over a ravine. So I know these things are very possible, and there's more going on than people realize.
Absolutely, Dolores, and I know, I think I know where you're talking about. There are portals and that Aborigines certainly know about, because they're very au fait with the sky people, the Wandjinas, and that come and interact with them. And, you know, for them, this is a normal, everyday experience. It's not a big deal, you know, like it isn't with most of the you know, the indigenous tribes who fully know about the sky people, and the sky people come down and teach them things. And we've got evidence, of course, of this happening all through history, where, you know, you've got the craft in tapestries, medieval paintings, cave drawings. It's only with the Western mind that struggles with any thought that there's intelligence beyond ourselves. And I think that's our biggest problem, is that we've lost our contact with that spiritual self and that consciousness beyond self because of our scientific paradigm. And the indigenous people, such as the Aborigines, learn a lot of their healing skills and what they're taught, and it comes directly from their star family.
Uh-huh. But, you know, the governments do a good job, too, of trying to make everybody look ridiculous, and they don't want this information to get out. I know it's in the States that way. I imagine it's probably the same way in Australia, too. They don't want to verify these sightings and these events.
It's absolutely... Yeah, Dolores, it's absolutely right. Although I'm finding there's a lot more openness in the media here than I think you've experienced in the States, because 3 years ago I was actually got in touch a journalist from the Doctor Focus magazine, which is a medical journal, and they actually asked me if I would be interviewed for that about my work with people with extraterrestrial experiences. And this is now a scientific medical journal we're talking about that goes to all doctors' surgeries and medical practices. They approached me, and after the interview, I noticed on the doctor, they sent me the magazine, and on the front, they actually had a headline, Aliens, Why We Should Believe. Now, I was amazed that was in a medical journal 3 years ago, and I've had some very honoring and respectful media interviews around my work in Western Australia, which is, I don't think you've had similar kind of thing in America.
No, that's you're right. That's a big breakthrough if you get something like that, an article like that. Because mostly in the States, if it's going to be something trying to put it down or attributed to mental illness or something like that with the client, or that we don't know what we're doing as therapists, that maybe they were leading or something. And you know yourself, that doesn't happen that way. We don't lead them anywhere. Yeah. This stuff just comes out.
I think possibly there's more control in America maybe than there is here in Australia. That may be part of it. But what I found is the more that I talk to journalists generally, when they come to me, they don't realize they're going to be, the interview is going to be reversed. Usually I make sure that I have informed them fully of what they need to know before they can ask me questions, so that at least what they're going to write is coming from an informed perspective. And I've had TV crews that have been so blown away. One young lady who was the audio sound person was so triggered by the information, she had to go and sit in the kitchen. You know my kitchen. She actually couldn't be around because it triggered so much in her. And each person of that media crew actually was an experiencer, and they didn't know it.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it's that. You know, whenever Willie Schreiber spoke about and that picture was on the front page, he opened a big can of worms for a lot of people. That they said they recognized that picture and they didn't know where it came from.
I know, and what I do explain is the children blow my mind with what they come out with, because there was an 18-month-old child here in Western Australia that went, her mother told me that she went to the bookcase, and of all the numerous books in the bookcase, there was only one that she took out the bookcase, and it was Whitney Strieber's book, Communion with the Face on it, the Zeta Face, and she said, Mummy, that's Clowney, that's the man that comes and gets me. And she was 18 months old at the time.
Uh-huh. So how can they say these things are made up? But, you know, I mean, I've thousands of people in the 30 years I've been working on this, and we know none of these things are made up. You get to where you can tell the difference if you work in this field long enough anyway. But one thing I don't like in the States, well, it's been years ago when I would go and sit in on some of the support groups. And some of the support groups, I don't think, are really therapy at all. All they were doing was each one's fear playing off of the other one's fear. They were not trying to explain anything to them or help them to understand at all. I don't know. I know your group is totally different, but I don't know what the other support groups are like that you've had contact with.
I have heard this too, and it's really disturbing, because it's meant to be a way of helping people to support each other and also to grow with understanding what's going on. The great thing I found with the group that I have is that you've got some that have really gone past all the fear anyway, and they're very connected and feel very integrated with their experiences, and they usually help any of them coming in that are still fearful, because I, you know, usually with a therapeutic, you say to those that have gone beyond that, how did you deal with that and how did you get greater understanding? But have you found, Dolores, that, as I have done, that sometimes someone new coming into the support group will get a shock because they've actually recognized people in the group that they've not met before, and that's because they've actually seen them up on the craft?
Oh, well, I haven't had that happen. Because usually when I'm going to a support group, it'll be strangers to me. They've just asked if I could sit in and observe. But that would make sense that they would recognize them if they had been on the craft with them.
It's been quite confronting for a few people because they've been really, you know, the first time many of them come, it's very scary for them. They don't know what kind of people they're going to meet. They think they're all going to be weird and wonderful and that they're going to feel very uncomfortable and frightened. And they walk in and they see normal, everyday people. I've had youngsters as young as 15 or 16 right through to 70, 75. And all, you know, sometimes more males than females or whatever. And they'll walk, you know, I've had literally some walk through the door and look at someone and say, I know you. How do I know you? And then they'll get a flashback and they'll actually have seen them on the craft. And it's quite freaky, actually, for them that they know this person. And that actually can act as a trigger as well. It's been quite bizarre in some respects when this happens. You know, it's like, if you want confirmation, well, there you've got it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, in your work, you have been working a lot with the children anyway. You know, I don't like the term indigo children. I don't think that really fits. To me, it's this whole new generation of children that are coming in. So I don't see it as a just a certain type. I've spoke at conferences where they've had panels of these children, like about 13 or 14 years old, so they're getting older now. And they were trying to explain the problems they've been having at school and like that, because teachers mostly don't understand them. But it is a whole generation of children that are special children.
I agree absolutely, Dolores. And I just put them all under the umbrella of Star Kids, whether it's indigos, crystals, rainbow children, children of light, children of the new millennium, whatever name is given. I think it's all part of that whole phenomenon. And I've written actually an article which is in the UFO magazine in the States at the moment called The New Human. And in it I actually explain that I believe all of that is part of what is under the umbrella of the Star Kids and what are called China's super psychics, these children that in China now that are doing these amazing things, the children in Mexico that read with various parts of their body, and the young man in Russia who was 7 and talked about his life on Mars and that there were these children coming in at the moment that he knew about, and he was only 7 when he was talking about his life on Mars and how he used to come to Earth in spaceships and that he used to visit the Lemurians and they were 8 feet tall. I mean, these are the children that we're talking about that have knowledge of their other lifetimes, have knowledge of why they've come here. But I believe they're all under that umbrella, and that we, when we start to specify or to actually compartmentalize them in a way, I think that we are not doing them any justice, because some of the star children are creative intuitives, for example. You've got some that they call the indigos that are, I call that like the spiritual warrior that are challenging the system and getting us to change the way that we educate our children and what have you. But there are many, I believe, other forms of star kids that we may not have even begun to understand or isolate yet, other than to understand that we're dealing with an upgraded human, if you like, that's bringing in the frequencies that are assisting all of us to change and to grow and to evolve together, so that it's not like we will be separated out ultimately. We will all be exposed and are being exposed to these frequencies to help us to evolve. And I think, you know, when you start separating them out, and us and them, I don't think it's healthy, and I don't think really that's doing this whole amazing phenomenon of human evolution any real respect.
Well, that's one thing I've noticed that, you know, when I've talked to these, we've gone to conferences where we've tried to educate the educators, is what they were talking about, because the children are, you know, they're not being disruptive just because they want to be disruptive. They said they're being disruptive because they're bored. The last thing that should happen is them to put them on drugs, and that's been a big problem in the States, wanting to put the kids on Ritalin, because they said, well, they're disruptive. But the children said they were bored because they were trying to teach them something that they already knew. They would ask them for the answer to a problem, like a math problem, and they would give them the answer. And then they said, well, how did you come find that? Mm-hmm. They said, I just know it. Mm-hmm. And they want them to go over and over the same material again and again. And they said, but I know it. Why should I bother? That's the way their minds are working. They're grasping things so quickly that then they put them on these drugs. But when I was doing my work, I asked them, well, a lot of other teachers have said, what can we do with these children? And the ones that I work with in my work, you know, I call them, you know who I mean. They said, offer these children challenges, something different, away from the normal schoolwork. They said, even if you just give them something while they're in the class, give them something to tear apart and put back together again. Give them a challenge. And that's one way to keep them occupied and keep their minds working. Because they're more advanced, they're learning quicker, and they are going to get bored. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I always remember one little 8-year-old calling them knowledge bombs in her head, that this information was downloaded in packages, and that they do understand. Many of them get very angry with the teachers because they say the teachers are actually inaccurate in the information that they're trying to get them to take notice of. And I always remember the little boy of 5 who, when his mum was trying to tell him how the pyramids were built with all these hundreds of slaves taking these big stones and building it, he said, no, mummy, no, you're wrong. It wasn't like that. I was there, he said. And they changed the density structure of objects, large and small, and they levitated them into place. And there was a giant crystal placed on the top that communicated with other worlds. And he was 5 when he told her this.
That's the information I've got. So he was absolutely correct. But it shows they know more than the teachers know, really. But do you think it is a good idea, they said, to give the kids challenges?
I think absolutely. We've got to look at a whole new system of education because of what they're learning on the craft. And I have got a wonderful lady here that's doing her master's in education at the moment. And she's going to do her thesis on these supernormal children, as she calls them. She's not calling them star kids, but she's going to do it at the University of Western Australia. And she says it's going to be about mind melds, ultimately, that they are actually going to access the information directly, telepathically, ultimately. But she said, in the meantime, we've just got to give them the freedom to learn in a way that most interests them, because they are intelligent in a way that we haven't really identified yet, because they can pick up information from us directly. And this lady is trying to bring this into mainstream through her own through academia, and we've got to do this. And I think some of the mature star adults are actually working on this from an educational point of view. And this is what Dr. Boylan with the Star Kids Project and myself and many others are looking at now, is we just have to look at a completely different system of actually educating these star kids. We have got the highest number of kids put on Ritalin in Australia, in Western Australia, believe it or not, the highest number of all in this particular place. And it's absolutely criminal that our children are being drugged out of this awareness, which is also, I think, part of a program to dumb them down, I have to say. And I don't want to get into the conspiracies here, but I honestly believe it's a dumbing down mechanism. And yet these kids have died of heart attacks by being on Ritalin, which people don't know.
Yes, I agree with you, because I've got the same argument here. And that's why I'm trying to keep the parents from putting the kids on Ritalin, because their minds are working differently. But see, I found the different levels of I don't have time yet to go into this now because we're running out of time. Different levels that I've called them, different waves of people that have come in, and they've each been more evolved than the next. And this new group are coming in with all the DNA changes already made. And they said, we're the ones that are going to have to catch up. They're already way ahead of us in all of this. But we're coming down to when he's going to be pulling the plug here. But will you tell people how they can get a hold of you?
Yes, the best way would be either through my website, which is very simple. It's www.maryrodwell.com with a double L on the end, or acern.com.au. And they can also ring me and email me. That's all on my website. So if they just go directly to my website, they'll get all the information that they need.
And it's Mary Rodwell, R-O-D-W-E-L-L. And Acern is A-C-E-R-N is the name of the organization, so they'll be able to reach you in either way. And tell
absolutely.
Tell the name of the book that you have published.
The book is called Awakening, How Extraterrestrial Contact Can Transform Your Life, and it's a resource book to take you through the process of waking up. And it's available in the U.S. with Avatar Publications. But it also, you can get it through New Leaf, Baker & Taylor, Ingram, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. All of those, you can order the book from there.
Okay. Is there any way they can find the videos that you've had award-winning? You had many awards for these videos. Can any way they can find those?
Yeah, they're on the website, and if you email me, they can actually get them directly from me. It only takes a week for me to airmail them over to the U.S. There's no other place they can actually get these DVDs from. It's purely an Acern product. And as you know, the first one's got all the beings on it, plus Tracy Taylor and her geometric drawings with some of the languages. But the second one is five stories, including Rochelle, who shows the scripts, talks about the languages and her healing, but also four other experiences as well with artwork and how contact has completely changed them and the way they understand their world.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to sign off because we're coming to that time. But Mary, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. And
Dolores, it's been...
Go ahead.
Sorry. Dolores, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to someone who I value and treasure as a friend. And I just think your work is just incredible. And I'm just so honored to have a chance to know you as I have done and to have access to what you're doing, because it's so wonderful for me, because I feel a little bit out on a limb too. And to get it confirmed is just the most a wonderful gift. So thank you.
Thank you, and I will see you probably in October when I return to Australia. Okay,
I look forward to it.
Good night, everybody.